This is a podcast for the Sovereign Hill Museums Association, Ballarat.
Hello, I'm Terence Fitzsimons and I'm Sovereign Hill's honorary musicologist. If one is to talk of songs of the Goldfields, it's just as well to start with a consideration of how the Goldfields came into being. So here is some historical background. In April of 1844, the Reverend William Branwhite Clark, an Anglican clergyman and a fellow of the Geological Society of London, informed Sir George Gipps, the Governor of New South Wales, that the colony possessed potentially rich gold deposits. Governor Gipps was less than enthusiastic. When shown a sample of the gold that Clark had unearthed, he commanded, "Put it away, Mr. Clark, or we shall all have our throats cut." The Reverend Clark did as he was told. Sir George returned to England in 1846, but Clark held his peace until the former governor had died in February of 1847. He then began to agitate for a geological survey of New South Wales, and drew public attention to the presence of gold in the colony. By mid-1848, a gold rush had started, but not in Australia. In January of 1848, at Colomo in the American-held territory of California, James Marshall was building a sawmill for his partner, John Sutter, when he discovered particles of gold in the stream that was to power the mill's water wheel. This was not the sort of news that could long be kept secret. In fact, very soon, people were singing about it.
We formed our band and were all well manned to journey afar to a promised land where the golden ore is rich in store on the banks of the Sacramento shore. And ho, boys, ho, to California go. There's plenty of gold in the world, we're told, on the banks of the Sacramento. Hey, ho, away we go, digging up gold on the Francisco. Aloft we roam through the rush sea foam, we'll never forget kind folks at home, but memories kind shall bring to mind the love of those we leave behind. And ho, boys, ho, to California go. There's plenty of gold in the world, we're told, on the banks of the Sacramento. Hey, ho, away we go, naming up gold on the Francisco. We expect to share, the course is fair, and sometimes sleep in the open air. On the cold, damp ground, we'll all sleep sound, except when the wolves come howling around. And ho, boys, ho, to California go. There's plenty of gold in the world, we're told, on the banks of the Sacramento. Hey, ho, away we go, digging up gold on the Francisco. As we explore the distant shore, we'll fill our pockets with the shining ore. And how 'twill sound as the word goes round, are picking up gold by the dozen pound. And ho, boys, ho, to California go. There's plenty of gold in the world, we're told, on the banks of the Sacramento. Hey, ho, away we go, digging up gold on the Francisco.
Many Australians took passage to California, where they not only dug for gold, but gained an unenviable reputation as troublemakers and criminals, and were dubbed Sydney Ducks by the locals. However, within 12 months of the rush starting to the Californian goldfields, the Melbourne Morning Herald reported that a young shepherd, tending his flocks in the Pyrenees, had discovered gold-encrusted quartz. Reading of this discovery, the Reverend Clark wrote to the Sydney Morning Herald warning, "Gold may be bought too dear, and I think it will prove so in the present instance." And he added the additional caution, "There is no instance of any man making his fortune by opening a gold mine." He was, of course, wrong. There were many who, like Governor Gipps, believed nothing but mischief would accrue from the discovery of payable gold deposits. It would, as one colonist observed, lead to a mania for gold hunting so fearful to contemplate, with the example of California before our eyes, that no person well disposed to the progress of our social and moral state could desire the dreams of a Midas or Aladdin to be realized. Too late. By the beginning of 1851, a rich goldfield had been discovered near Ballarat, and on the 11th of September, the 120 diggers who were in the area declared that their particular goldfield would be known as the Ballarat Diggings. The London Times, proclaiming in the same month, "Discovery of gold, gold fever in Australia." 12 months later, the same newspaper calculated that the number of emigrants who had left the British Isles for the Australian goldfields numbered at least 100,000 souls, and with more to follow. In fact, from 1837 through to 1851, the population of the colonies of New South Wales and the later separated Victoria had totaled only 103,000 persons. Yet within 18 months of the discovery of gold, that figure had doubled. At the same time, British songwriters and music hall artists encouraged their fellow countrymen to depart to Australia. "Make no delay, but haste away to Australia, oh!"
To high and low of all degree a tale I will unfold, and tell you where across the seas you may find lots of gold in the land of Australia, if you're inclined to go. Make no delay, haste away to Australia. Make no delay, but haste away to Australia. What pleasant news for young and old, one moment don't despair. Make up your mind to deal in gold and banish grief and care. The Queen shall have a golden horse, Prince Hal a golden calf, Earl Derby shall have golden hose, Little John a golden cap. Earl Derby shall have golden hose, Little John a golden cap. And when the British lasses to the land of riches go, I get among the shining stuff of Australia, ho. They shall have golden buses, golden petticoats and smocks, with golden boots and trousers, and golden bantam cocks, with golden boots and trousers, and golden bantam cocks. In England, Ireland, Scotland, Wales, young people seem so glad. But them that is bowed down with age are going raving mad. Because unto the shining land they won't be let to go, to poke their noses all amongst the gold of Australia. To poke their noses all amongst the gold of Australia. The lawyers say abroad he'll go to deal in golden wills. The doctor says his patients he'll drug with golden pills. The grocer says he'll cut a stick, he will, so help him Bob. And Paddy says he'll buy himself a gold and silver hob. And Paddy says he'll buy himself a gold and silver hob. There are gold and penny loaves and tops for boys and girls. There's golden German sausages and golden saveloys. There are golden taters smoking hot for ladies when you go. And lots of golden chamber pots in Australia. And lots of golden chamber pots in Australia.
Other songsters were less boisterous in their promotion of the goldfields. Still, they did not deny that there's wealth to be won, but they soberly assured the emigrants that God would watch over their endeavour, and the promise was that they would never forget dear England. The latter sentiment tended to weaken as, in time, the new immigrants became acclimatised to their adopted home, or, as it was sometimes expressed, they became colonised.
So with courage to dare and God to watch over us, we look forward with hope to the land before us. So wherever we wander, wherever we rest, we will never forget the dear land we love best. Now England, dear England, though we bid thee farewell, we'll never forget thee wherever we dwell. Though friends throng around us with many a sigh, there are tears on our face as we bid them goodbye. Yet with the Englishmen near us, our perils to share, the great deeds of our father forbids to despair. So onward, brave hearts, to the region of gold, for success ever waits on the true and the bold. The foremost in danger for riches or fame, still old England, thy sons ne'er will sully thy name. Now England, dear England, we bid thee farewell, we never will forget thee wherever we dwell.
However, for those who made the journey from the old country, and they came in their thousands, conditions on the diggings proved something of a shock. Local songsters were quick to sound musical cautions about the reality of life in the colony and on the goldfields. No doubt such songs sung to the ironic amusement of the old hands and the consternation of the new chums. James Mulholland, a Ballarat man, lyrically warned, "As it is in Australia."
The rivers of Victoria, they are beautiful and grand, in mighty torrents rushing on to fertilize the land. Through scenery that is beautiful, her creeks and streamlets run, but they're dried up in the summer by a hot Australian sun. They're dried up in the summer by a hot Australian sun. The roads of this great colony are very fine indeed, o'er which your horse can travel with ease at railway speed. As you dash o'er rocks and crab holes, your heart will loudly beat, as the hot winds are refreshing when you're overcome by heat. As the hot winds are refreshing when you're overcome by heat. squatters of Victoria, they are such a splendid race. Gold diggings ruin the country, they'll tell you to your face. Enlightened men you'll find them, and faultless as can be, with pantaloons and worsted cord and hat of cabbage tree. With pantaloons and worsted cord and hat of cabbage tree. Bullock drivers are intelligent, they're apt to make you stare. Their language is so classical, my word, and can't they swear? Their features so expressive as they tan the bullock's hide convinces you they're new chums who've not seen the other side. Convinces you they're new chums who've not seen the other side. The diggers of Victoria comprise men of every clime, in fractionary ingrates who have been logged for crime. Associate with gentlemen of proud patrician birth, united in the work of farming Mother Earth. United in the work of farming Mother Earth. But the miners as a body are now such a source of wealth. To disclose vast hidden treasures, they risk both life and health. I'll tell you my conviction, I will carefully unfold. Victoria's the shicer once the diggers got no gold. Victoria's the shicer once the diggers got no gold. What a blessing to Victoria are our brilliant auctioneers, whose eloquent catch-calling often fills the eye with tears. They never can reproach themselves, but sometimes heave a sigh, when selling very swampy land described both high and dry. When selling very swampy land described both high and dry. Shopkeepers on the diggings used to drive a roaring trade, and fondly hope in 12 months their fortune would be made. But the market now is overstocked, there's grog in every store, and most of that fraternity must go and dig once more. And most of that fraternity must go and dig once more.
And so it was on the Victorian diggings that the Goldfield song came into its own as a distinctive musical genre. Topicality was the thing, and these songs became a means of appraising the diggers of the local news and keeping them abreast of the latest gossip. The songs also acted as an introduction for the new chums to the developing customs of the diggings, and a correspondent at the Argus opined that some of the songs would give a much better idea of life on the goldfields than most of the elaborately written works upon them do. So while the new chum had not only to come to terms with the strange conditions, social and climatic, in which they found themselves, they had also to familiarise themselves with the particular argot of the diggers.
I was digging some few months ago, and I thought it would be better to let my friends in England know, and so I wrote a letter. I cannot tell you what I said, indeed I can't, by jingo, but it seems I licked them off the perch with my rum colonial lingo. But it seems I licked them off the perch with my rum colonial lingo. My sweetheart read the letter and set about replying, but ponder o'er it long in vain to find my meaning trying. I'll read you just a few extracts, then make you laugh like blazes, and show what folk in England think of our colonial phrases, and show what folk in England think of our colonial phrases. She writes, dear Charlie, I've perused your letter with attention, and I must say I'm quite surprised at the curious things you mention. To hear you're on the gutter shocks me and Isabella, For we both agree that you must be a very nasty fellow. For we both agree that you must be a very nasty fellow. You say you're driving every day, but it's plain you write at random. For here you quite omit to say whether it's a dray or a tandem. T'other day a German friend of ours, his name is Mr. Kaiser, blushed like a girl at sweet 16 when I mentioned the word Scheisser. Blushed like a girl at sweet 16 when I mentioned the word Scheisser. And when you talk of surfacing, of what can you be thinking? And you mention court so frequently, I suppose you took to drinking. You talk about the drift, but how to explain in all endeavour? For out the whole thing that you write, I see no drift whatever. But throughout the whole thing that you write, I see no drift whatever.
Music was one of the main sources of entertainment on the diggings, along with liquor, ladies of the night, and events at lavishly decorated theatres and ramshackle concert halls. No doubt many of the new colonists cherished and lovingly sang songs from their homelands, and advertisements for evenings of musical entertainments on the diggings promised songs from England, Ireland, Scotland and Wales, augmented by an operatic item or two. But there were many professional entertainers who saw that popularity and profit lay in providing the diggers with topical humorous songs, with lyrics that sprung from response to particular local social situations, and ideally set to popular music hall melodies. The combination did not necessarily produce good or even memorable pieces, but they possessed enough merit to warrant the attention of the diggers and provide the professional performer with an income and a degree of popularity. One such Goldfield entertainer was Charles Thatcher, a flautist who had turned his hand to writing and performing songs with sufficient success as to be acknowledged as the greatest of the Goldfield balladeers, and granted the sobriquet the inimitable Thatcher. A song about the manner of police entrapping sly grog sellers was one of his popular pieces.
"'Tis 12 at night, and there upon the camp a foot policeman silent watches keeping. And thus he talks and chuckles to himself, while all his brother traps in bed are sleeping. The tents I'll stick up next I will not name, but I'll go and take an observation. And if they're green enough to sell me grog, why then I'll go and lay my information. Why then I'll go and lay my information." The night is past, the sun resplendent shines, as a digger then this trap himself disguises. And then he goes into a sly grog store, handle things and ask the various prices. He blithely talks about the Russian war, the scants upon the policy of nations, and brings away a bottle of brown stout. Then coolly goes and lays an information. Then coolly goes and lays an information. He enters then another well-known store, and there he pitches them his gammon. He buys some fish and asks for Buss's ale to help wash down the tin of pickled salmon. The man, completely taken off his guard, supplies the bitter without hesitation. And having done a jolly morning's work, the trap goes off and lays an information. The trap goes off and lays an information. Next morning the delinquents there are seen up at the court with blank and dismal faces. And soon the sitting magistrate comes in, and on the bench they take the various places. You have to fork out £50, of course, and view the trap with indignation. On conviction pockets his 5 notes, besides his pay for every information. Besides his pay for every information.
Despite all the hardships associated with the diggings life, there was still an overseas audience prepared to allow that digging for gold was an undertaking they should not eschew. And there were many songsters who were prepared to encourage this view. Joe Small, an entertainer who shared billing with the inimitable Charles Thatcher on a New Zealand tour, was happy to sing to islanders north and south of the magical scenes to be encountered on the Victorian diggings.
As I view the prospects vast, midst which my lot is cast, I am struck with wild surprise, for enfolded to my eyes lies a diorama grand, eclipse in sight of fairyland, developed in this magical scene. Oh, folks amazed, others crazed, driving, sinking, swearing, drinking. Hey down, ho down, derry, derry down, a novel and a magical scene, oh. Waving forest all around, impromptu camping ground, 10,000 tents or more, grog shops by many a score, round holes without number, with piles of slab and lumber, on the surface of this magical scene. Oh, cooey here, cooey there, revelations, strange sensations. Hey down, ho down, derry, derry down, oh, the wonder of this magical scene. Oh, what shots are those untiring? Only lucky diggers firing, bullocks bellow, dogs barking, dancing, singing and skylarking. All is revelry by night, everyone mad with delight, who inhabits this magical scene? Oh, cattle bells, drunken yells, wild carouse, horrid vows. Hey down, ho down, derry, derry down, many battles on this magical scene, oh. In the morning all is life, like an army ere the strife. Men are walking with a will, on the gullies, flats and hill. Others off with maddening speed, to discover some new lead, in the bowels of this magical scene. Oh, tinker smoking, new chums joking, come my hearties, join our party. Hey down, ho down, derry, derry down, fun and frolics in this magical scene, oh.
And indeed, in the old country, there were many still prepared to promote a fanciful view of the goldfields, and despite warnings that there were thousands of prospectors absolutely not earning their rations, yet the interest felt by the people of England in the Australian gold discovery was deepening and extending. A broadside circulated by the Glasgow publisher John Lindsay exhorted people to go where you'll get a lump of gold, over in Australia.
Have you heard the news so grand, the last and best that's come to hand, about the rich and golden land, glorious Australia? 'Tis fine. flying fast or land and main through every house, square, field and lane. And if 'tis true, 'tis very plain, the golden age has come. But whether it's true or not, we're told the rich, the poor, the young and old are all a-going to dig for gold or in Australia. If a fortune you would make, procure a shovel and a rake and two or three odd things to take, or to Australia. A washing tub you get the first, a dung fork next to break the crust, a broom to scour away the dust, a crummy bag for dust. Then pack them up and take your route, and you will find the gold fields out. Just take your pick and use it stout for gold in Australia. Relations poor and wish to cut them nice and sure, take and write upon your door, gone to Australia. Tradesmen, when the bills come in, with fear you need no longer grin. You've got to use, and that's no sin, a little brass instead of tin. And when the beagles are on your track, just say as while your hands you smack, I'll pay your bills when I come back, I'm going to Australia. So now, good people, young and old, the truth to you I will unfold. Go where you'll get a lump of gold, or in Australia. The beggar there his wallet fills, the doctor feeds with golden pills, and there you'll meet his fortune wills, sovereign bound for your ills. The glorious times are coming quick, so if your lucky hour you nick, sell all your traps and cut your stick right out to Australia.
In the midst of all this physical and social upheaval, the political scene was undergoing a change. On the 1st of July 1851, the newly created colony of Victoria was hewn off from New South Wales. With considerable wealth accumulating from the efforts of the diggers, there was a shift in the social and economic life of the new colony, marked in part by a move amongst the citizenry from the necessary and functional towards the luxuriant and even frivolous. Jack was not slow to recognize that he was, potentially, as good as his master, and that, having struck it rich, he was probably better off staying in his adopted home rather than taking passage to the old country. Charles Thatcher summed it up in song.
A young man left his native shores, for trade was bad at home. To seek his fortune in this land, he crossed the briny foam. And when he got to Ballarat, it put him in a glow. Oh, to hear the sound of the windlasses and the cry, look out below. Oh, to hear the sound of the windlasses and the cry, look out below. Where'er he turned his wandering eyes, great wealth he did behold, and peace and plenty hand in hand by the magic power of gold. Quoth he, I am both young and strong, to the diggings I will go. For I like the sound of the windlasses and the cry, look out below. For I like the sound of the windlasses and the cry, look out below. Amongst the rest he took his chance, and his luck at first was vile, but he still resolved to persevere. At length he made his pile. Says he, I'll take my passage now, and home again I'll go, and I say farewell to the windlasses and the crying look out below. And I say farewell to the windlasses and the cry, look out below. Arrived in London once again, his gold he freely spent, and into every gaiety and dissipation went. But pleasure, if prolonged too long, of causes pain, you know. And he missed the sound of the windlasses and the cry, look out below. And he missed the sound of the windlasses and the cry, look out below. And thus he reasoned with himself, oh, why did I return? For the diggers and a penitent life, I now begin to yearn. Here purse prowls the poor oppress, but there it is not so. Give me the sound of the windlasses and the cry, look out below. Give me the sound of the windlasses and the cry, look out below. And so he started for this land again with his charming little wife. And he finds there's nothing quite comes up to the jolly digger's life. Ask him if he will go back again, and he'll quickly answer no. For he loves the sound of the windlasses and the cry, look out below. For he loves the sound of the windlasses and the cry, look out below.
All of this raises a question for those who make a study of such things. Are these songs of the goldfields folk songs? The best answer to that question would be a cautious no, not quite. Such songs as the diggers may have spontaneously composed for their own amusement have, to all intents and purposes, been lost. The goldfields brought an influx of professional entertainers for whom the production of topical songs was an integral part of their business. In effect, they flooded the market with songs that we may now probably best classify as traditional or colonial ballads rather than folk songs. In fact, on hearing the melodies to which some of the songs were set, it becomes obvious that the pieces were devised for a theatrical presentation rather than simply to be sung by the diggers around their campfires at night. These crafted lyrics, however, sprung from a response to particular and local social situations, and, notwithstanding that they were primarily the work of dedicated music makers, they are not limited in their appeal by this fact.
Pull away cheerily, not slow or wearily, rocking your cradle, boys, fast to and fro, working a hand about, sifting the sand about, seeking for treasures that lie hid below. Rocking your cradle, boys, fast to and fro, working a hand about, sifting the sand about, seeking for treasures that lie hid below. Here's a brave nugget, like a children we hug it. Courage, my lads, fortune favours the bold. What are your thoughts about knocking the quartz about? Thoughts that will soon send our parents some gold. So pull away cheerily, pull away merrily, pull away cheerily, fast to and fro, working the hand about. about working the hand, about seeking for treasures that lie hid below. There's Dick, a young digger, works a cradle much bigger than his own little self, while Sally, she must add a mite to the store by collecting the ore and filling her apron with bright yellow dust. Rocking your cradle, boys, fast to and fro, working the hand, about sifting the sand, about seeking for treasures that lie hid below. Here's a mere mannequin bringing a pannikin, his hurstly can grasp in his small tiny hands, while tilting his dish up, we merrily fish up another supply of the glittering sand. So pull away cheerily, pull away merrily, pull away cheerily, fast to and fro, working the hand, about working the hand, about seeking for treasures that lie hid below.